Welcome. I'm calling the meeting of the House Transportation on February 6, 2016, at 1:02 to order. Today, we will be opening public testimony for HB 249. Actually, it's already open, so we're going to continue that. We have five legislative information offices open: Fairbanks, Anchorage, Matsu, Kenai, and Wrangell. So if you're not located, if you're watching on the computer and you're not in one of those communities near an open LIO, you can call my office. We have someone manning the phones at 465-3743. I'll give that number again, 465-3743, to get the teleconference number to call in to weigh in on this bill. I also encourage you to provide written testimony. If you send it to me, it gets out to the all the committee members, as well as posted on BASIS with the bill. That email is rep.shelley with an EY, hughes@akleg.gov, rep.shelley with an EY, hughes@akleg.gov. If you're a committee member and you are listening online, I've asked that you be unmuted at the after the public testimony in case you have any comments before we adjourn. If you are not on the phone line, so we don't know that you're listening in as a committee member, I suggest you call my office, and they can let me know so we can acknowledge you that you are listening in. With me today in the room is Representative Ortiz, Representative Stutes, and Representative Nagiak, and I'm Representative Shelley Hughes. I just want to draw to the members' attention that there has been written testimony that has come in since our last meeting. We have two dozen, 24 that have come in. The majority, 22 of those, have concerns about the bill, so those are provided for you. If anyone has written in the last little bit or any time before we close out public testimony, we will add your email, get it out to members, and add it to BASIS. The committee aide has been a little busy, so if you've sent something in just the last little bit, it may not yet be in our hands, but it will be. So with that, I don't need to pound the gavel because the public testimony is already open. So we have online, I am going to go in order of the people that have been waiting the longest, for the most part, by location. The first location that called in and was online was the Matsu LIO, so I am going to start with this group. So Beth Freed in Palmer, if you could please identify yourself for the record and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Beth Freed. I am a resident of Palmer and I'm speaking for myself. I thank all of the members of the committee for participating today, especially those who are forced to call in. I appreciate this opportunity because I am in an industry where I am almost constantly on the road. I am a realtor, and I'm not opposed to the taxes. I would like a cap on the taxes. We experienced over $4 a gallon last year, and that was a huge cut out of my revenues. So I would like something that said when gas prices go up to $4 a gallon, we will roll back the taxes to a more reasonable level. I don't think this bill should be considered until you all have sat down and cut the budget. I do not believe in generating more revenues until you have reached at least a $4.2 billion budget. Maybe 4.5. I know that you can use the permanent fund earnings reserve to carry us for a couple of years. I think that before you start making money from our pocket, that you need to go ahead and start cutting money from what you're spending. I also believe that the governor's plan for defunding eventually the permanent fund is a very bad one, and I hope that you all, if you have to vote about it, I ask that you vote against it. Again, I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to hearing how you guys perform this year.
Thank you very much, Beth, for your testimony, and thank you for keeping it in a timely fashion. I'm going to ask those testifying to do your best to keep your comments to 2 minutes. And with that, I also want to mention that the Kodiak Legislative Information Office is open as well. So with that, we'll proceed to the next person that was has been waiting the longest, and that is Steve St. Clair.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve St. Clair, and I live here in Wasilla. I am here today in opposition of House Bill 249. HB 249 will have a negative impact on all Alaskans, especially those living subsistence lifestyles. Those living in rural Alaska utilize motor fuel, aviation fuel, and watercraft fuel for survival. I was speaking with my mother-in-law this morning, who is a Inupiaq and grew up in rural Alaska. She explained how all these fuels are used by the villages or used by those living in the villages. She stated that in Shishmaref, one of the villages where she grew up, motor fuel was used in ATVs for transportation and hunting on and off the island, used in snow machines for transportation between villages and hunting on mainland Alaska. Some people still use motor fuel for their cooking stoves and for lamps. As all of you know, many of the cities and villages are off the road systems, such as Juneau. To travel to many places in Alaska, you must go by plane or watercraft. Additionally, the cost of many basic amenities, such as toilet paper, are extremely expensive due to the current cost to ship them, and this bill, HB 249, only wants to increase it by 100% or more, depending on the fuel. Many living in rural Alaska come to Anchorage for medical appointments. Their airline tickets are predominantly paid for by the state of Alaska, so we're paying for it. When they're in Anchorage, many of them stock up on the basic supplies, such as toilet paper, because it is substantially cheaper than purchasing it at the villages. I know last week my mother-in-law mailed her sister, who still lives in Shishmaref, large boxes of toilet paper and paper towels at a significantly lower price than she could have purchased them in the village. With this tax increase, these items are going to be even more expensive to purchase in the villages. Although fuel prices are low in the cities, it is still expensive off the road system. This tax would be disproportionately burdensome on those living a subsistence life, which is necessitated by a lack of jobs in rural Alaska. HB 249 is estimated to generate $40 million for the general fund, which is another monster that needs to be addressed. By putting any money in the general fund, it is encouraging government to grow, which in a fiscal crisis is counterproductive. In 2014, the state of Alaska paid out $39.6 million to rural Alaskans via the Power Cost Equalization Program. It seems counterintuitive to place a burdensome fuel tax on those that are also receiving subsidies for high fuel costs. Okay, I guess I'm talking too loud. Almost done here. HB 249 is a bad bill and should never leave committee. Taxation and changes to the permanent fund and the permanent fund dividend should never be considered until we right-size government. The magic number is $4.5 million in FY 2017 unrestricted general fund. Anything less is disingenuous, is a disingenuous attempt to solve our fiscal problem. I encourage you all to oppose House Bill 249.
Thank you very much, Steve, for your testimony. Next, we have Abby St. Clair in Wasilla. State your name for the record and your affiliation. Proceed, please.
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon, representatives. My name is Abigail St. Clair, and I am representing myself, and I currently live in Wasilla. I'm asking you to reassess this HB 249 before you start raising taxes. Being raised in Shishmaref, we know the cost of living is very high, but by raising the fuel taxes, the necessities cost will only continue to raise. Currently, fuel is $6.99 a gallon and makes it more of a challenge to be able to afford to hunt and fish and live off the land as our ancestors have in the past. So I'm asking you to reassess our current budget and continue to find other means before increasing those taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. Next we have Mike Coons of Palmer online. Identify yourself, please, and your affiliation, and proceed.
Yes, Representative Hughes, my name is Mike Coons from Palmer, and I'm speaking out against HB 249. The stated reasons by Governor Walker for all the taxes he is proposing is we can't cut our way out of to a sustainable budget. His piddling $100 to $200 million in cuts does little to do nothing in getting the budget to a sustainable level. The governor instead taxes the EFD, even Chief Justice Roberts would agree with that. Then you have the state income tax, but that only goes after those of us that work. Like all progressive tax schemes, the people who are low income and suck up the vast majority of HHS spending don't pay anything. Then he wants sales tax. Although that is somewhat more fair, it taxes everyday consumable items, thus hurting the low income the most. Then, of course, is the sin taxes on alcohol and cigarettes. As if the stated goal of reducing that consumption is reduce the use of cigarettes and alcohol in any meaningful way. Well, it has given the option of e-cigarettes approved, but that's being taxed too. So to add to all the above, we have HB 249. This is in addition to news this week that President Obama wants to tax $10 per barrel of oil to be used for alternative energy. Section 3 of this bill raises many questions that I'm sure, if enacted, will create an accounting nightmare for the gas stations. Note, all increases are 100 to 175%. From Section 3, 16 cents for motor fuel, except for aviation 10 cents, motor fuel used for watercraft 10 cents, aviation fuel other than gasoline 10 cents, and then, of course, the less tax on ethanol, which has not worked well here, and part of the environmental fix has never really been fixed. Although I'm not seeing it here, I'm betting that fuel oil from my home will be in this tax scheme since the home heating fuel is diesel fuel. That increase will hit rentals and homes big time. I'm totally confused on the duplication of Section 4, and then Section 5 makes no sense. Home will get a 12 cent per gallon refund. It states person, whereas this bill is about taxing fuel at the pump. Section 5A3, so if I want to use the gas from my ATV, do I state that at the gas station to get a refund of 12 cents? That also raises the question on if I'm buying gas from my boat, how does the gas station adjust from 16 cents to 10 cents? Same holds true for aircraft. If I fill up jerry cans for the plane or boat or ATV, how does that get adjusted and how does the gas station know I'm getting it for those things? I'm sure other testimony will use the term, this isn't a perfect bill, but it needs to pass. I agree. This is not a perfect bill. It is a horrible bill that hurts all the lastments while not doing anything to get a sustainable budget. Get a big backhoe and bury this bill 10 feet under poured concrete. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coons. And is anyone else at that location at the Matsu LIO? I don't have you on my screen, so is...
Not yet.
Okay, thank you very much. And we will move on to the Ketchikan LIO. Ed Zastro, are you there? Please state your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, thank you. My name is Ed Zastro. I live at 3530 Denali Avenue. I am a senior citizen and have been in the territory of Alaska and state for over 50 years. Knowing that the state certainly is enjoying a fiscal problem, well, I would ask you to please consider your discussion as to what you're going to do about this. And I would suggest that perhaps if this has to happen, let's try it over a stepped plan over the next several years. And a reason for that is other taxes are headed our way. We well know that. And once again, we ask you folks, you know, if you're going to pass it, please make a step bill out of it. That's all I really have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed. We appreciate your testimony.
Madam Chair.
I think we're going to save comments until the end for members. And I know Representative Ortiz is very glad, I'm sure, to have Mr. Zastro online. So we will have opportunity for comments after everyone that is waiting testifies. And so... is there anyone else at the Ketchikan LIO? I'm not seeing anyone. So we will... Yes?
No, not at this time.
Okay, thank you. So we will move to the Fairbanks LIO. And Clay Murphy, state your name, your affiliation, and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon. It's great to see other people working on this effort.
Clay, can you speak up? We're having trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Clay Murphy. It's good to see other people working on a Saturday, too. I'm speaking for myself. I live in North Pole on Badger Road. I'm a veteran. I've been in Alaska for 35 years. I'm retired from the Alaska Railroad. After I left the railroad, I drove a fuel truck for a while. Now I drive a Pearl bus. I've always voted in local, state, federal elections, and I have extensive family in this area. I am opposed to an increase in HB 249 as it increases the cost of energy to the interior. One of the things I look at is companies will always cascade their cost of doing business to us, increasing our burden. So we're not only taxed, again, we're going to be taxed double or quadruple, for that matter. It will not make a significant dent in the budget deficit either. This is another move by government that hurts businesses and individuals. The state, like some of the other previous people, comment, I totally agree. The state should make some meaningful spending cuts. The companies I've worked for before have had to run their businesses on revenues. So when their revenues went down, they had to make some meaningful cuts. And I haven't seen that happen here with our state government. The first thing they wanted to do was tax us. In my opinion, that's the wrong thing to do. Businesses will make cuts if their projected revenues are estimated to be lower. Some of the examples that I've listed are a hiring fee should be put in place. These are things I experienced in the past. All travel should be canceled. The legislature should lead the way. The elected leaders are our only hope for responsible government. Restructuring should take place. All agencies in the university should consolidate buildings. Unnecessary buildings and land should be placed on the market. Promotions should be delayed if possible. Equipment and vehicles should be parked and possibly disposed of. Unnecessary services must be canceled. All levels of management must be scrutinized and reduced meaningfully. A wage cut must be implemented with a promise of a reinstatement once revenues return. I'd like to address taxation. If a tax is created, it must sunset at a certain point when revenues increase. An existing agency must perform the work of taxation. No additional agency or personnel should be allowed. No increase to government in any way can be responsibly allowed. You do not hear of any businesses agreeing with increased taxation. You do hear from those who work at agencies and the universities saying we should pay our fair share. As far as I'm concerned, we pay our fair share. My federal taxes increase every year. My mill rate is going up again. The state receives a generous amount for our population of federal dollars. But guess where this money comes from? This money comes out of our pocket. Leads to our fair share. The Transportation Department, the first cuts visible were to service. They said the service was not going to be as good. I don't think it was very good to begin with. I suggest you drill down into this agency and take and make this cut suggestions I made above. You will save more than doubling the gas tax will make. Are we going to suffer if you trim the departments? No, we will not. This includes aviation. Trim the fat, the correct area, and you won't hear complaints from your constituents. The commissioner should have the ability to perform the streamlining and the restructuring, or they should be replaced by someone who can. Those are very hard cuts, I realize, but we need some leaders up there at this time. As far as the permanent fund dividend, I'm against the rate. However, if it must happen, I'm inclined toward Senator Lisa McGuire's bill, except I would insist on a sunset clause. The last point I'd like to make is the current debacle of the Anchorage Legislative Office. I know it doesn't pertain to what we're talking about, but I am given this opportunity to bring this up to the legislatures, and I will every chance I get. Give me a break. Someone should take action to correct this embarrassment to the state of Alaska. It reminds me of Governor Murkowski's jet. I don't see any difference. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murphy, and also at the Fairbanks LIO, Brian McNeil. State your name for the record, your affiliation. Proceed with your testimony, please.
Brian McNeil, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm retired, just here representing myself. I'll be very brief. I look at the state excise taxes on fuels, you know, across the United States, and we are, if not at the bottom, right near the very bottom on a per gallon basis. I see the average being around 30 cents a gallon, more or less. At the high end, we're talking about 50 cents a gallon. Given our the problems we have with our topography, with the fact we have a huge geographic area, the small population, permafrost, snow plowing, overflow, I just, quite frankly, don't understand how we aren't near the higher end just to make ends meet, given we have an expensive state in regards to transportation just because of where we're located and our size and our population. I don't really see any way around that. I don't like paying taxes any more than anybody else does, but I think we have to be reasonable and say, why in the world would we have one of the lowest fuel taxes in the nation? It just does not make sense. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. McNeil. And is there anyone else at the Fairbanks LIO which wishes to testify?
I just had one more person arrive.
Okay. They're not showing up yet, so that means we can't tie them in yet. Is that correct?
I'll have them ready.
Okay. We will wait a moment. Well, how about if we'll go on to the Anchorage LIO while she does that, to Jack Jackson, Mr. Jackson, give your name and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony, please. Okay, we're having difficulties with Anchorage LIO. So we will move to Matt Sue, where we have someone who has been added. Mr. Sykes, please state your name for the record and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Representative Hughes. My name is Jim Sykes. I'm from Lazy Mountain outside of Palmer. Thank you for considering this bill. I know that we've got a terrible fiscal crisis, and I know between the cuts and where you have to raise revenue, this does seem like a reasonable place to go. I do have a couple of cautions, though. I hope that the fuel taxes can be oriented toward maintenance, because the federal government will give us 90% for a road, or sometimes 95%, but very little to maintain it. So we've kind of gotten into this bind where we've built a lot of roads, and there is less money to maintain the roads we've got. So I hope that will be considered. On the other hand, a lot of bush communities that still use fuel don't have any roads to maintain, or at least not very many. And so I want to make sure that their docks and their community services are somehow balanced out if the tax is going to be raised, because I do think it's appropriate if you're going to raise tax that is by the gallon, because some of the places out in the bush are $10-$11 a gallon for gas. So as you put this in the mix of things before you raise revenue after you make cuts, I think it's a reasonable thing to go, and I know that we do not have dedicated funds, and so I hope that it will be a balance between maintaining the roads and making sure the community services, which you should be able to get the cost of and expenses from DCED, are balanced out for people who are living in the bush. And I don't know if I can say that I support the bill, but I think you're headed in a good direction, because we have to start paying our own way for some of the stuff that we haven't been paying for. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sykes. And now we will go back to the Fairbanks LIO, Brian Simpson. Can you please state your name for the record and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony?
Yes, hi. For the record, my name is Brian Simpson. I'm a resident of Fairbanks.
Go ahead, proceed with your testimony. We can hear you.
Yeah, I just saw this proposed additional tax on gasoline, and I guess it wants to triple the aviation fuel. And I would just like to state my complete opposition to this. We're already seeing Alaska's basically a welfare state, and there's little or no consideration made to small business or people who actually work for a living. And the idea of increasing the cost for personal or business or transportation is abhorrent. It's already costing the state so much to fund their state workers and their retirements. A lot of them come up here for a couple days a year and keep a higher amount of their retirement. And then you've got this big block of people that just live off the state. And just to administer this monstrosity, you're proposing to cost more. So for example, all the rural areas now, everything is flown out or taken out. It's going to cost the state more to provide services than it, you know, already does. I just think that the best way to go is to just slowly dismantle the dependency of residents and wean people off the state and encourage people to have real jobs and produce things. And this is just a horrible idea. I mean, of all these taxes, this is just bad. And I don't see any gain for people who actually make a living and contribute to the state. I just would be in opposition. And I also noticed that there was something where you have to start sending an electronic copy of your income tax to the Department of Revenue attached to this bill. That's also abhorrent. The idea of an income tax, of course, is there again, you're always punishing those who actually work, who are in a small minority, versus those who work for the state or are dependent upon it. You've got to dismantle this welfare state. The writing's on the wall. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Simpson. We'll move to the Anchorage LIO. Jack Jackson, can you hear us, and can you state your name, please, and your affiliation? Proceed with your testimony. Do we have a connection? We saw it connect very momentarily, and then it disconnected. Who's over at the Anchorage LIO, if you want to try again to get Mr. Jackson connected? Doesn't appear that we can get him connected at this time. That's all that we have online. We'll give a minute to see if the Anchorage LIO can connect. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? Okay, while we're waiting here a moment, I just want to mention those that have testified today. It sounds like some of you have prepared statements. I would encourage you to submit those prepared statements, and we can post them with the bill and provide them to members so that they will be on the record in a written form as well. I also want to mention if anyone is watching the live stream, and you have posted regarding this on Facebook. I know there are a lot of Facebook posts right now regarding many aspects of the work we're doing here in Juneau. Please understand that that does not go on the public record. If you would like your comments on this bill that you've put on Facebook, you'll need to email them to the email that I gave earlier. I'll give it again, rep.shelley@akog.gov. That way they can be entered in the public record. Let's try the Anchorage LIO again. Now, Mr. Jackson, I'm not sure if you can hear me. We're having trouble, so I would encourage you to submit your testimony in writing, and I will bring special attention to committee members when we email it out to them that you or someone who took time on a Saturday to show up and there were technical difficulties, so they're not sure to see your statement. And I want to thank everyone that went to the trouble to go to the legislative information offices on a Saturday, on the weekend, to let us know what you're thinking regarding this bill. Again, any emails that we've received after the start of the meeting will be included. At this time, I would also like to thank Christy and Jessica, who are helping with the technical aspects and the recording of this meeting. I appreciate their coming in on Saturday as well. And at this time, I would like to open up to the committee any closing comments before we end this meeting. I will note that we will, as I said earlier, keep public testimony open. And just so members also know, we have no meeting scheduled next week, and we encourage members to take that extra time and focus on the work and the finance subcommittees. And the following week, we will bring this bill back up at that time. So do members have any closing comments? And Representative Ortiz, did you want to?
No, Madam Chair. I'm fine. Thank you.
Representative Nagiak?
I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about the part of people in the rest of the state about the increases being proposed. As I keep saying, you know, they're disproportionately aimed at people who can't afford to pay their taxes, especially in rural Alaska. And I always say that people in rural Alaska wish they had income to tax, because jobs are few and far between, and most of the jobs are skilled jobs and education and all those power plants and stuff like that. A lot of people don't have those skills in rural Alaska, and in a lot of cases, these skilled jobs are filled by people who have two on, two off, sometimes, you know, from the population centers and along the rural system. And so even if the jobs available, a lot of those jobs are taken by people from outside the villages, because they don't have the skills and the wherewithal to do those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm going to keep continuing to say that, because I've seen it all the time. And then I think it's you know, a lot of people in the state have organized and unorganized boroughs, and that's in the Constitution. And so the boroughs should step up more for their boroughs. And I think that, you know, the state, they're so concerned about the state spending a lot of money. I think that if they're concerned about that, I think they should the borough should step up to the plate and find ways to raise revenues in their communities or in their boroughs to do what needs to be done, because most of it is on the onus of the state. And so we have in the Constitution a borough system that was set up a long time ago. And so there's organized and unorganized boroughs. So I know my borough has stepped up from the very beginning. We built up a lot of the infrastructure in the village. We built all the power plants, we built all the health clinics, we built the runways, we built everything. When we got our chance from the oil industry, from the taxes and everything, and we took advantage of that, and we're still continuing to do that. People are concerned about the state spending all this money and everything. They should consider about their own boroughs that are formed in their areas, because we're by constitution we have boroughs, organized and unorganized boroughs. And so if people are concerned about the spending of the state of Alaska, and we can cut them, but the onus is going to be on those people, those governments, local governments in the rest of the state to step up. And so, I mean, you know, there's people are saying cut this and cut that. But when we do cut that, then they say, who's my, you know, don't cut mine. And so we're always doing something. When we do something, the people come and say, don't cut my piece of the pie. And, you know, cut the other guy's piece of the pie. And so, but we all have to have an honest discussion on this, because, you know, we are in a place where a bucket of chicken is more expensive than a gallon, or barrel of oil. And so, you understand that, people out there, that barrel of oil is a whole lot cheaper than it was over all these years when we had plenty. Now we've hit the bottom, almost the bottom of the barrel, if you will, and so we need to do things. And I thank people who are calling in and telling us, you know, don't do this or do this and that. Thank you very much. But, you know, we all have to give a little and take a little. And so it's going to be tough, but, you know, we'll have to do it. And, you know, the governor's bill is in front of us, so those of us who were elected, we're having discussions now. And I encourage everybody in the state to call in, please. Give us your thoughts on this, because, you know, we want to hear that. And we heard the majority plan out a 1-800 number to get ideas from you in the rest of the state. So if you're listening, give us what for. And I like that, you know. I thank you for those of you who gave us what for today. And so and we got to continue listening and go from there. And we can't be afraid to make just tough choices. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nagyap. Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll make this very brief. I just would like to reiterate the thanks to the people that took time out of their Saturdays to come and go to their local LIOs and testify, because it is important and we do need to hear from the public. With that, I will conclude.
And thank you very much, Representative Stutz. And I'll just make a couple comments just to clarify anyone that is listening. It is correct that the funds collected from this would not be like a user fee, in that they would go directly back to that infrastructure. Aviation, there is a requirement that some of that tax money from the aviation fuel would go back to the airports. But in general, that's not permitted in our Constitution, so it does go back into the general fund. So just wanted to clarify that. Again, as we are one of the lowest taxed fuel states in the nation, that is correct, as one of the testifiers pointed out, but it is also, we are have the highest, among the top three states, for the highest cost of fuel per gallon, so that's important. And then there was reference to the recent proposal by President Obama, and this, just so the public knows, if this were to go through, it would increase gas by approximately 25 cents per gallon. That alone, so that is something to consider as well in this discussion. And I did see that Representative Ortiz does have something he would like to say, so Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to echo the comments of my fellow legislators here on the committee today, and thank everybody for coming out today and to share their perspective on this particular proposal and on the state's fiscal situation in general. Government by the people, for the people, is not just an idea. It can be a reality, and you folks have taken the time to share your comments today, help to make that more of a reality, so I appreciate that. Comment about the proposal by the governor in general. First of all, you know, he did come up with a proposal, and he did it knowing full well that some of these different taxes proposals were not going to be popular, not popular with him as well. And, you know, I applaud him for the leadership that he's shown in coming up with a fiscal plan for us to, as he said, pick apart and criticize him on. But nevertheless, it was a proposal, and that's what we're doing right now, is we're looking at that proposal and hearing from the people about that proposal. Another thought is that while we have some unpopular choices in front of us, my good friend from the Northwest commented on the fact that The alternative is significantly more budget cuts. And several of the listeners today commented that, you know, the governor's proposal of a $100 million budget cut is not much of a cut. But remind everybody that last year, in last year's session, with the governor's leadership, we did cut that budget about $450 from the operating budget and another $400 or so from the capital budget. So these cuts that we're looking at this year, you know, can't be looked at as just single loan cuts, but in the context of where we were last year as well. So with that said, cuts will need to continue to be on the table and will be on the table, and we'll be looking at those. But as my good friend said, those cuts are going to mean significant reductions in services that are important to people. So with that, I conclude. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for those comments, Representative Ortiz. And I'd like to say that it did take moxie for the governor to present what he did. There are some tough things, and we are in that process of debate and opening to input. And you know, remembering again that it is that all of these proposals will have impact directly on families and individuals and Alaskans, and that's why we are grateful to hear from you today. And although I'm going to keep public testimony open on HB 249, I will be adjourning this meeting, and I just want to remind everyone, no meetings Tuesday and Thursday, and if there are no further comments, we will adjourn the House Transportation Committee at 1:44. Okay.